Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I am in the midst of a series, and it's been on family for a number of different weeks that we've done this. And like Jimmy John's this morning, I'm going to be freaky fast. Without
but amazing.
Brief but amazing. Amen. And I am really excited about this, just God's heart for what he wants to share with us this morning out of his word. It's just, there are sometimes, okay, families, dads and moms, there are times when you, who likes ribs? Okay, now put your hand down. Who likes to make them at home, barbecue them at home? Who's bold enough to say, I got you. I make some great ribs. Okay, we know where we're going Friday night. Thank you. I'm not kidding. I'll be there. Don't disappoint. But it's just sometimes, you know, you're on something. It's like, this, I love ribs. It's going to be great. There's confidence. There's other times you take a menu out and you're like, or a recipe book, and you're like, it looks good. I don't know. Do we really like liver? No, we don't like liver. You put it to the side. But sometimes you just know this is your specialty. This is right in your vein of eating. The kids are going to be happy. The wife is going to be happy. Barbecue away. What could go wrong, Rick? What could go wrong? This morning, I just feel like God's heartbeat on this, and it's... And if you've been with us a few weeks, you probably know when I speak, I try and tend to finish with a GBH, great, but how? I've growing up in 18s and 20-year-olds, I trust I grew up a little bit. I just remember sitting in church in times, and I'm like, I'd hear a great message. I have no idea how to apply that. How do I do that on a Tuesday? And so for myself, I'm always aware of that. How do I make this real? How do I make it applicable? How do I put this into practice? And so I'm aiming this message towards, for me, a very important GBH, because I think what God's heart is for us, it looks like something. It sounds like something. It acts like something. So as I'm going through this message this morning, I am excited, thrilled, encouraged, provoked, with the great but how today, because I just think God's breathing on it. It'll be good. Amen. So, family, it's been up there for like 10 minutes already. It is a series. Excited about it. But 2 weeks ago, I started just a three-parter on fathers and fatherhood. I personally really enjoyed the message. I liked it. It was maybe not as good as Rick's ribs, but, you know. To me, it's one of those messages, like it's Mother's Day. It's always kind of edgy because... Like maybe you're like myself, your mother's gone, and it's just that Sunday, there's a sense of loss, and it's just, or maybe, you know, it's fathers, and you had a rough father, a difficult father, or your dad died. So I know just talking about things like this, or even marriage, if you've been in a challenged marriage, it's like sometimes you can just touch on some nerves. That is not my intention at all, but I do believe with all of my heart, God's heartbeat is for families. Yeah. And God's heartbeat is for dads and fathers, yeah. Godly fathers who represent him well, who act like him, sound like him, behave like him. And so I know it's a sensitive subject, but I just ask you, just hang in there with me. God's heart is, though, through our pain, we can come out the other side. And there's a quote up there by a lady named Yasmin Brooke. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. If you don't come from a stable family, make sure a stable family comes from you. Yes. Maybe you're like me. Again, I've said it too many times. I'll say it one more just because I've got one more. I'm still up here. My birth mom married 9 different times, came from a very fractured family. I was 4 years old when my mom abandoned the family. And I understand what it feels like coming from a non-stable family. And you don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. Is it time to go see a new stepdad? And you're like, who are you? What's your name? And are you going to be as bad as the last one? And sometimes when you talk about family, people are like, ugh, it's just not a good subject for me. But when I read this, I thought, Lord, this represents the heartbeat of heaven. Because I didn't, you're probably like me, I didn't get to pick my family. Yeah. I had no say-so in my family. But I do have the opportunity, through God's grace, through faith, through the Word of God, Lord, I want to change. I want to see that, if possible, maybe a stable family can come from me. Because I couldn't do anything about what I was birthed into. And I do find that to be the heartbeat of God. So I do want to once again talk about fathering and fatherhood. And last week, Mike Stafford spoke. It was fabulous. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And he showed several different pictures last week. And I was provoked by one. I was provoked to jealousy. Who was here last week? Anybody? Everybody? There you go. Do you remember Mike had the audacity to show a picture of him like in his 20s? And he had... what stood out to you about that picture about Mike himself?
Hair.
I'm sorry?
Hair.
Hair. Okay. All right. That's exactly what stood out to me. I thought he was a little flaunting. It was kind of like that, you know, beach thing, you know, hey. Back to the 80s, throw a ring in the offering and flow your hair. And so, you know what? I thought... Okay, challenge accepted. You know, I can do that too. And so this morning, special for you, I had to go back through the catalog and find what age did I have hair. Boom! Back at you. I think they called that a pompadour back in the day. I mean, I was styling. I probably had a diamond ring on my finger. But, okay, you can take that down. So I would just provoke, you know, thinking about fathers and family and everything, and proof, there was. There we go. Yeah, please take that down. It's a little embarrassing. But that actually, that was the age when my mom abandoned my family and walked out. And so just when I see a picture like that, one, I mean, I had hair. I know what that feels like. But it just, when you look back on it, you have memories and you have recollections. And some of them really, really potently, powerfully bad. And some of them potently, powerfully wonderful and amazing and good. And it can bring, not tears, but tears of joy. Yeah. When you think and you recall back. And as I have said many times in over the last 9-10 years of this church's history, my dad was amazing. I was raised in a non-Christian home. We never ever went to church. We never ever read the Bible. I don't even know that there was a Bible in the house. But my dad was a great dad, and he sacrificed so much. He sacrificed his career so that I would have an opportunity just through fractured family and whatnot. My dad gave up so much, and I referenced a couple of weeks ago just lessons that my dad taught me. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just as a recollection, my dad taught me how to live life, how to grow up and be a man, how to be somebody, a contributing, stable member of society, and to value morality and to value being honest and being the sort of person that the company wants to keep when there's layoffs rather than, oh, opportunity to cut dead wood, let's let Tom go, first out the door. And he taught me so many meaningful things that I still treasure, I still hold on to. It's opening doors for ladies of any age, giving up your seat for a lady in a shop or a store or a bench at any age, however old they are. When you borrow something, if you break it, you bring it back new, fixed. If you borrow a car, you bring it back full of gas, no matter how much gas was in it when they gave it to you. Right. Just simple, simple little things. But seemingly, a lot of folks didn't have that class at home, seemingly. They skipped that one. One of the things that I just want to highlight at the very beginning here that my dad helped me with was a work ethic. When you show up for work, you may not be the smartest, you may not be the most gifted, you may not be the best at it, but you can work the hardest. And I remember it. My dad talked about work all the time. And we moved to Denver, Colorado from Bridgeton. We were living in Bridgeton, moved to Denver. And I was 13, 14 years old, very traumatic time in my life as we were moving again. But I remember I was talking to my dad, and I said, I want to get a job. And so my dad talked to me. And so, anybody ever heard of a paper route? Yeah. You ever heard of a paper route? Okay. I was 14 years old, 1973, living in Denver, Colorado, and sometimes you need wisdom. Is wisdom helpful? Okay, there was two different papers, the Denver Post, which was the afternoon paper. So which paper did I take? The morning paper route, Rocky Mountain News. And I got this paper route, and two or three funny stories, I don't have time to go into it. But I started with this paper route. My stepmom went with me. I got to skip school the day before my route started. And as we're going through the route, it's 2201, 2204, no paper, no paper, 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 paper. She was just walking me through my route. Got bit by a German shepherd. I hadn't even started yet and already got attacked by a dog. Immediate empathy for all the postmen. I thought, this is not going to finish well. But anyway, I started this route, and it's Denver. We lived in Arvada, Colorado, if you know, it's just kind of a suburb. And I just have vivid recollections. The paper would arrive in stacks of paper bundled, would arrive in our driveway about 3 a.m. And I'd get up and I'd start folding them, throwing them in the bag. I had a bicycle and I'd do it. But what I remember about my father was anytime there was a threat of weather, my dad was out at 2:30 in the morning, whether there's a foot of snow, 6 inches of snow, 2 inches of snow. My dad, who worked a full-time job, every single time there was bad weather, my dad was out there helping me. One particular time, anybody remember an AMC Gremlin?
Yeah.
Nasty, foul little cars. They really were. I think they had the bubble back. They're just ugly, nothing pretty about them. But when you're 14 years old and there's 10 inches of snow, you love your AMC Gremlin because your bike doesn't roll through it. And I just remember my dad, every single time he would get up in the morning, get in his stupid little AMC Gremlin, and he would drive me through the snow. And my dad told me, he said, son, they want their paper whether it's snowing or not. You can't not show up because it's snowing, because it's inconvenient. And he said, but I tell you what, you'll never have to do it by yourself.
That's good.
Wow. I'll always be there to help you. And it's just those simple little recollections. You think, what kind of dad did I have? Yeah. I had an amazing father. As I look back, lots of deficits, lots of empty gaps and holes in his fathering. But I knew that my father was with me and for me, and was anticipating things in my life and meeting the need before I didn't watch the news, I didn't watch the weather, but I remember my father never missed a snowstorm where he wasn't already there at 2:30 in the morning in the driveway waiting for me. And he said, son, work, work, work. And at the age of 17, I was 13, we moved back to St. Louis. At the age of 16, all my friends, I went to Holman Junior High and then Pattonville High School. And all my friends were getting their cars. How many people got their license when they were 16? This is Raise Your Hand Sunday, by the way. You know, we don't usually do it this much. Everybody gets their license at 16. It's just normal. But my dad, being my dad, said, son, you're not going to get your license when you're 16. You have a 10-speed. Enjoy it. I was so excited. I so appreciated my father in that moment. And he said, you don't get to get your license until you buy your own car. Cash. And when you can pay for a year's worth of insurance, you can have your own car and you can drive. You can go get your license. But until you have your own car paid for in cash and your license and your insurance paid for a year, you don't get your license. Enjoy your bike. That seemed a bit harsh. Does that seem a little harsh? I thought it was really harsh. But you know what my dad taught me? The value of work, the value of saving, the discipline of work and ethic. I don't know if we have a picture. In 1975, I paid cash for that car. I don't mind telling you, the wind was flowing through my brow. I had a Chevy Malibu convertible. It was yellow. My wife hated it. Ushers, we have a disturbance. Somebody's getting a little mouthy again in the front row. As my grandma used to say, hush now, hush now. She really hated the car. But as I look back, in my childhood, I had a father, and he taught me so much. He just taught me. Didn't teach me about the Bible, he taught me about life. And I have a lifelong appreciation for what a man could teach me about life. There's my mom and dad. My dad's on the right as you're looking at him. That's my stepmom. It's kind of funny. I kind of wept a little bit as I was looking at it. I thought, I'm going to turn out like that. I may already be there. Didn't have any hope for my stepmom, DNA and genetics. But I just recall different things that I'm going through, and now we have grandsons that we're loving and working with and hopefully helping our children in raising their children. And I just think, what were those principles? And then you go to this beautiful thing. Randy held it up earlier. What principles of parenting, of fathering, understanding what my Father in heaven is like and emulating his actions? What's important really in life? The title of this morning's message is Be a Barney. Be a Barney. In Acts chapter 4, I just want to go through several different verses and look at a man that stands out to me in Scripture as a father in the house. A father in the house. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 to 37, the Bible says this. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This man sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, I love this. I love this man. I love Barnabas. I call him Barney. We're not friends, but I just feel a love for this man. What does a father in the house look like? What does a father in the house act like? First off, the first thing that the scripture notes is this man was so gifted at one thing, he was actually known as this, son of encouragement. This father, this man of God, primarily known as a man who simply exuded encouragement. I love it. Second thing he was known as a generous man. I love this. He says he sold property and brought it to the apostles. And what I appreciate this, it is very different if you actually stop and think about it. Many people would say, did you tithe off of that? I know people, some pastor friends of mine, did he tithe off that? No, he didn't. He put 100%. That was his gift. Barnabas just wasn't an encourager. He exuded generosity, which I believe is part of it being an encourager. He was not just generous with his money. He was generous with his words. He was generous with his heart intention. Acts 11:24, also speaking about Barnabas. The Bible describes Barnabas, Barney, our guy. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He had gone to a city and he was there looking at, but the Bible says about Barnabas himself, what does a father in the house look like? What does a dad in the house look like that God notes, that God takes special notation of and says, I want to highlight this man. He's an encourager. He's a generous man. He's also known as a good man. Can you imagine if heaven's verdict that they put about your life in the Bible that says, she was a good woman? I go, I'll take that. He was a good man. Also, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of faith. So, he enjoyed the things of the Spirit. He wasn't opposed to the things of the Spirit. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, verses 19 to 27, this is probably the longest story that we'll look at real quick this morning. Also, speaking about this man, Barnabas. Acts 9, verse 19. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Speaking of Saul, soon to be the Apostle Paul. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call him, who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the Apostle Saul. He's putting disciples, men, women, and children, in jail and killing them. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan, and day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. How many were afraid of him?
All.
He had been a bad man, Saul. He persecuted the church, put men, women, and children in jail, imprisoned them. All were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas. But Barnabas. All the disciples said, phony. There's one man who stood up, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He's not just an encourager. He's not just a man of faith. He's not just Mr. Weird Holy Spirit guy. He's not just generous. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on the journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. No one trusted that this new convert to Jesus, who was purporting to be a follower, was a real deal. But Barnabas met this man, Saul, soon to be Paul, and said, "This guy, I see in him the hand of God." One man could look beyond all the mistakes, all the background, all the junk, all the horrific persecution of the church and said, "In this guy, the hand of God's on him. I'm telling you, he's legitimate." No one else could see it. No one else trusted him but Barnabas. What does a father in the house look like? He's not so much worried or focused on all my mistakes and all my failures. He's more interested as a father in who I'm to become. That's a Barnabas. Acts 11, verse 25 and 26. This guy, I'm telling you, this guy Barnabas is a legend. So noted, so powerful, so impactful, the Bible noted his life. Acts 11, 25. Then Barnabas, so an outreach turned into revival, and Barnabas went down. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church, taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Antioch, there's a revival. Barnabas is sent down by the disciples, go see what's happening. He's like, "Oh my gosh, it's breaking out." Oh yeah, you know what this revival needs? The guy that nobody believes in. Before I put my foot in the water right here in Antioch, I'm going to go find that guy that nobody wants to be around. Because that guy has got something this place needs.
That's good.
A Barnabas will go and find what nobody else wants. He's a father in the house.
That's good.
He believes and sees what's inside of people. He searches for them and finds them and brings them into their house. One last description of this man. Acts 15, verse 36. You know what? I won't even go into it. I'll just summarize quickly. Barnabas and Saul are set apart by the Holy Spirit to go on the mission trail. And they take with them a young man named John Mark. Many of us will know this story. So a young guy named John Mark went with Barnabas and Saul. At some point in the journey, John Mark, this young guy, let's just say he's 19 years old. Up and coming, sharp, everybody loves him. They know his family. John Mark is the real deal. But as this young guy, things get tough, and John Mark leaves them in the middle of the mission. Gets discouraged, it's too hard, misses mommy, I don't know what the problem was. But John Mark left them. And here's the funny thing, as Scripture talks about. Here's the funny thing. Later on, they go on a different mission, Barnabas and Saul. And Barnabas, because he's Barnabas, says, you know what? Remember that young guy that failed us? Let's bring him on this journey. I believe in him. And he's saying it to the same guy that he believed in, Saul. And you know what Saul said? Oh, I remember John Mark. He's a quitter. He ain't coming with us on this trip. And Barnabas is like, dude, I believed in you. Can't we give John Mark another shot? Saul's like, no, we're not giving him another shot. He quit. He failed. He's not worthy to be going with us. And they got in such a dispute that Barnabas and Saul parted company over a young man and his reputation. The only thing John Mark had done was fail. And Barnabas says, I'll stand with the failure. I'll stand with the man who has potential, but all he's shown is he didn't do it. Barnabas, I love this guy. He's able to restore people. And later in life, Paul himself, in his writings, years and years later, sends a note to a fellow disciple and says, you know what, that guy John Mark, can you send him to me? He's really useful. Because John Mark turned out to be really useful. And there's only one guy that could see it in him, was Barnabas. I wonder what kind of person I am. I wonder how many people have let me down in the past. I wonder how many people have failed. I wonder if I remember people's failures more than I can see in what God's hand is on their life. I believe what one of the things the Church of Jesus Christ needs this day is people who can see what people are going to become. Anybody can look at Albert Pujols at 38 years old. That guy can hit. Yeah. You got 700 homers. A gajillion RBIs. Anybody can see Albert Pujols at 38. Can you see him when he's 18? What the church needs is fathers in the house. And that's on this point, gender neutral. Gender neutral. It needs moms who can see what people are to become and believe in them when nobody else believes in them. Because the only thing that you've seen so far is failure. And yet, it's a God-given ability because I believe of God-given interest on people's part. Lord, help me to see what's inside of people. All I've felt so far is the pain of their failures. Can I see who they're to become? Or do I hold people hostage to what they've done? The beautiful thing about Barnabas, he's never listed as a prophet. He's never listed as an apostle. He's never listed as a miracle worker. He's simply noted as a man of encouragement who believes in people that nobody else will. He goes and finds people and says, I believe in you. Walk with me in life. Barnabas was a good man. He's an encourager. Barney is a living legend in the Scripture. So here's my GBH. What does that have to do with me? What does it have to do with us? I believe in this family, and so if you're a guest, I'm sorry. I'm going to deviate just for a second. I believe there's a real gifting that needs to be highlighted and brought out in the body of Christ, because we're all looking for the evangelist. I'm looking for the evangelist. I'm looking for the miracle worker. I'm looking for the person of faith. I'm looking for the person who has a gift of healing. Yes, yes, and yes. But what if we were just as interested in those people who have the gift of encouragement? And I'm just going to say, in this body, we have many. Just people you just get around, and they're the type of people when you spend time with them, you want to go back again. You don't feel like, wow, let's see them in 10 years. That was painful. But it's those people you're like, man, she was amazing. We got to have them over to the house again. They're easy to beat in the games also. We got to have them back. There's people you want at the table, you know, to sharpen your skills. Encouragers. It's a Stephen Newton, a Donnie and Janine Flynn. I'm sorry, guests, you don't know these people. I'll bring it back on in a second. A Caleb Ross, Daryl Sims. Is Daryl here? Yeah, he's probably out eating bagels. I just, when I see Daryl, I'm happy I bumped into Daryl. A Chaz Josar, Katie Ragsdale, a Randy Kyle, a Lauren Smith, a Jenny Gilbert, Angie Maurer, a Katie Hooker, Barb Milster. Anybody know Isaac Little? Doesn't go to church here. I was with him this week. Man, I walked out. He was having a tough time, and I was encouraged. I'm like, Isaac, I stole your encouragement. I received from you. And I look at some of these people. They're living legends amongst us. They're Barneys. Short for Barnabas. It's a bunch of Barneys. I read a quote in the past from a guy named Jim Valvano. He was a coach of the NC State basketball. And he was quoted, he died probably 20 years ago, fantastic basketball coach, and a memorable speech just as he was, his body filled with tumors, and he stood up and he spoke to a bunch of people and he said this, "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give to another person. He believed in me." That's the father heart of God. He made you in his image. With all my failures, all my inconsistencies, he sees what I can become. Yeah. And then he puts people just like him on earth, the Stephen Newtons, to help me become who I'm supposed to be, just through the gift of encouragement, for believing in me. And this room is full of them. I believe it's time to unleash this gift on society. GBH, great, but how? I'm winding it up. I'm concluding. My first question, GBH, my first thing, who's in my sphere? Who can I believe in? Who doesn't believe in themselves? Who is there that just struggles with confidence, struggles? Maybe they've never been given an opportunity. Maybe they came from a broken family. Maybe they had a horrific father. Maybe I met with a guy this week, he didn't even know who his dad ever was. Mom was just a tragic life. And I looked at this man, I thought, sir, you need a dad. Which is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. So many people still looking for a father and a mother, gender neutral. Who is in my sphere? Who is my mission field? And now I'd like to switch it just a little bit. Switch it just a little bit. Instead of us just looking here and thinking, huh, I bet Randy Kyle, I bet she's looking for a father. I bet she's looking for a father figure. No, she's not. No. Well, who do I go? If it's not Randy, here's just a thought. We have, as we've talked about this morning, we have an opportunity across the street called Fort Zumwalt South High School. They opened their door. Because of COVID, Fort Zumwalt South, their sports activities began coming this direction. It started with their football team. They came over here every Friday for 8 to 10 weeks. Home games, away games. They came here and they used our facility because they couldn't use their cafeteria, their facility over there. And after that, the baseball team, the wrestling team, cheerleaders, basketball team now, they're calling us. Yeah. Can we use your facility? Who's my sphere? Well, who's in the church? What if we, just for a second, looked over the neighbor's yard? Yeah. I wonder what's happening in that yard on the other side of the fence over there. What if I expanded my sphere to just over the fence, over the road over there? And I go, well, how do I do that? Here's an opportunity. I'm just throwing out one. I have lots. We have lots of opportunities. Bags, gift cards for Sarah. And I know she loves peanut M&Ms. Just last week, I saw her just eating the peanut M&Ms over there. And so if you don't have a gift card, you can give her, you know. No nut allergy there, from what I understand. But one of the needs that I have become aware of through people in this body is they actually need help at their concession stands over there. What if 30 people from this family, what if 30 people made a, you know what? I could go a concession stand. It's before the game, halftime, after the game. What if 30 people, they need volunteers over there to work the concession stand. What if 30 people from this family said, you know what, I can do that. 2 games a year, 3 games a year. It's not like they're asking for blood. I don't do blood donation, by the way. We're not talking, I get dizzy. What if I just thought, you know what, I can go sell Sarah peanut M&Ms at halftime. I can give somebody a water bottle and charge them $9. I don't know, it's not Busch Stadium, it's not $9. Maybe 5 or 6. What if 30 people in this family made a decision? You know what? If there's a need over there for concession stands, help. What if I went over there 2-3 games this fall and just volunteered? And we were Barnabas. We were Barneys as we went over there. I'm not fussing about the kids. Why didn't that kid pull your pants up? What's wrong with you? Were you raised in a barn? That was my father. Sorry. Straighten your hat out. What's wrong with you, son? Not your hat goes straight. That was my dad. You dropped a wrapper. You dropped a wrapper. You want to come back and what if we didn't do that? What if we, with a smile on our face, just went over and picked up all the trash while we're working at the concession stands? What if we smiled at the kids that gave us attitudes? What if we smiled at the kids who need to pull their drawers up in the back? What if we didn't tell them to straighten their hats and we just smiled and gave them a word of encouragement? What if we were a whole bunch of Barneys and they don't know who, and somebody, we just stand out. Like, oh, your great-grandchildren go to school here, sir? No, I'm just part of the church across the street. We just want to help. I don't give them a track. Right. I don't give them a scripture. Right. Just over here to serve. Just want to be a help. Just be a blessing. Don't tell them I'm going to be a Barney. Barney, who's Barney? I'm just here to be a blessing. I'm just here to help. I'm just here to love kids. I guarantee you, if we start doing things like that, looking over the fence into the street, the building across the street, and started taking an active role towards people, they'll recognize a Barnabas and they'll start asking questions. Who are those people? They keep volunteering. They just keep blessing us. And they don't ask for anything in return. They just keep offering more. What if we were those people? Because I believe that's a Barnabas. And there's so many kids across the street, and teachers included, who need a dad. They need a mom. What if we were those people and we started blessing people, and a whole bunch of people gave their life to Jesus over the next 2 to 5 years? Why? Because there's an opportunity. I can do that. I can help across the street in a concession stand. I can sell Sarah a soda with her bag of M&Ms. I can do that. Can I just ask you just to consider that? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to love people outside of our sphere, our natural sphere. I thank you, Lord, that this church is full of people that act just like Barnabas, full of encouragers, full of servants, full of people who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty and just roll up their sleeves and love people who need love. I thank you, Jesus, that's what you did for me. I thank you, you gave me a natural dad who taught me so many things. I think that you gave me spiritual moms and dads as when I was in my 18s and 20s, people that invested in me for, I had no reason why or no idea why they were investing in me. They simply did. Holy Spirit, thank you for the open doors that are across the street. Thank you for the open doors that are in my neighborhood right next to me. Give me the eyes. Make me like a Barnabas that I can go and seek people out. Help me see what's inside of people, Father, the gift, the treasure that from heaven that you put in people. Lord, and then the boldness just to go love people. I don't have to be weird. I don't have to be religious. I don't have to give them a track. I don't have to invite them on Sunday. I can. But Lord, let me just love them first really well. Let them feel my love. They don't feel any strings attached. I just want to be a blessing. I want you to feel I see you. I see you. Give us ideas, amen. Lord, that we would seize the day, seize the opportunities that are on our doorstop, knocking on our door as a church body. Help me, Father. Bless us as a family. Thank you for the moms and dads that are here. Lord, that we could be who we're called to be. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. And amen. Have an amazing afternoon. If you need prayer, you've got a need, please come on up front. We'd love.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.